Welcome back to Ping. This is episode number 37. 37 weeks of Paul and myself and some random interludes coming in and talking about the hottest stories buzzing around Microsoft every week. And before we start the show, I have to comment on the glaring neon blaze coming from your shirt. What is the reason?
Well, so we wanted to wear as fluorescent colors as we could today.
You're wearing pink. No.
Actually, this is a shirt that I get to wear every year at the PASS Community Summit.
Is that today?
It was the time that we've been filming this.
Gotcha.
So I've been going back and forth to the Washington State Convention Center. Yeah, well, I mean, I did design this shirt last year, so whenever my former team has to wear this, I wear this with pride.
Well, speaking of teams, go Yankees! Oh, did you watch that?
Nope.
You've heard of the Yankees.
The Yanks.
All right, let's talk about something you people are probably more interested in. They crushed them. You didn't watch the game?
No.
All right.
J-E-T-S Jets?
Yeah.
Let's get the show started.
Yeah. All seats are right behind home base.
Oh, I'm going to the Seahawks game on Sunday. Box seats.
Why? They're playing the Lions, so they might actually win one.
I am from Detroit.
Oh, sorry. I hope that works out well for you. All right, Paul. So we let you wear the shirt, and I was reading an article about all the excitement and buzz going around SQL Server. So I was going to actually inform the audience all about it, but I figured I'd let you.
Really? You'll let me?
Yeah, I'll let you. Let's talk about what's going on in SQL Server.
I could let you...
2008 R2.
Ooh, she knows. Huh? She knows. Huh? This is actually the prequel to SQL Server 2008 R2 D2.
I think he's brilliant.
So,
but oh, boom.
Hey, I'll be here all week,
here
folks.
All okay.
but yeah, so we had the PASS Community Summit last week, and had a lot of great announcements from Bob Muglia, the president of Server and Tools Business here at Microsoft, as well as Ted Kummert, the VP of everything that's SQL. And we announced the preview availability of SQL Server 2008 R2, which is a dot release, like a medium to major release on top of SQL Server 2008. But they're really focusing a lot in a few areas. There's a new technology coming out called Power Pivot, which is an Excel, SharePoint, SQL Server plugin that really helps you enable business intelligence for the masses. So people can use like hundreds of millions of rows of data inside Excel, connect that with ad hoc data sources in SQL Server and SharePoint, and just be able to pivot and slice things almost instantaneously on a typical business laptop.
Okay.
So that's it's pretty amazing that it can expand the capabilities of Excel and really enable for the first time an end user, like an end user information worker, to use that much data.
Wow. Were people pretty excited about this at the summit?
Yeah, there were a couple of applause breaks in there. Yep. And there are a few other things that are big in the R2 release. There was a code name of a project called Madison, which is now the SQL Server Parallel Data Warehousing Unit. And for the first time, Microsoft will be releasing an appliance that has a pre-configured, pre-built system, including the hardware, the OS, and the software, so that you can have a data warehouse that can span up to easily hundreds of terabytes.
Wow.
And eventually even petabytes of information.
Petabytes? So,
no, not petabytes. petabytes.
Petabytes. How many is that, Paul?
That is this many.
Excellent.
And then flash forward about 45 years into the future, and done.
Okay. Gotcha.
But anyway, there's just a lot of great stuff that's going to be available out there in a preview form.
Cool.
The official release is going to be the first half of 2010. And on top of that, if you were at PASS, you might have gotten some SQL bucks. Look at these.
And what can you do with those SQL bucks?
With these SQL bucks, you can either try and get the most as you possibly can and trade it in for something like an Xbox or a Zune HD, or you can just make it rain. Look at this. Isn't this fun?
I'm so glad we did the SQL story.
So SQL Server 2008 R2, a lot of great work's been put into it, and it's coming your way soon. If you have any questions, post them on our comments, and I will hook you up with the right person to answer them.
Or maybe it's you.
Or maybe it's me and my green shirt.
You never know.
All right, so for the first time since 1955, or whenever the last time MSN got a major revamp, we actually have put a bunch of work into creating a very clean, very new-looking MSN portal.
That's right, and it's less cluttered.
Very less cluttered. There are 50% fewer links on this new portal that MSN will be releasing next
year.
Now,
what I found interesting about the revamp, and you can actually go and see a preview because it hasn't launched yet, but the preview is available to everyone, so you can sort of do a compare and contrast, especially if you use the Snap tool in Windows 7. If you want to do a side-by-side, I'm just saying.
Window key right.
It's an option. What I really found interesting is while they have, you know, decluttered it and taken away a lot of the junk, they added, Paul.
What did they add?
Social media.
Oh, good.
Twitter.
Great.
Right there. I mean, if you're not realizing how important this is by now, when are you going to jump on the bandwagon?
I don't know.
MSN right there on the new homepage. Twitter incorporated. A lot of other links to social media network sites. It's the wave of the future.
Great. Do they have that in Wonderwall? I mean, I need to get my tabloid gossip from one site. I just need to let all of my 900 Facebook friends know.
I should call somebody about that.
Maybe. Mm. Maybe. Yeah, but this is pretty huge because MSN is one of the largest sites in the world. It has 600 million people that use it.
Yep.
So doing something like this is actually a very, very big investment from Microsoft's point of view to change something that's this well known.
Right, and that's what I'm going to say. Interesting to see how people respond to it because sometimes people don't like change.
Yeah.
You know, like I've known that even Channel 9, when we've had site redesigns or like even feature changes, people, whoa, that's not what I'm used to, you know.
Yeah, well, I like the recent Channel 9 changes where it actually has a decent sized video player there so it doesn't look like a postage stamp.
And you, it's like actually, that? You like that? I did that for you.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Very nice. So, anyway, if you want to check out the site, it's preview.msn.com and let us know what you think.
All right. All right, Paul, you ever hear about those sort of lizards that if you get a tail eaten off?
Oh, yeah, the salamanders?
Right. I don't know if salamander is regenerative, but, you know, if you get part of its body, it regenerates and grows again and heals itself.
Yep.
Apparently, Windows 7, same thing, in digital.
Oh, yeah? So is that kind of like Hayden Panettiere, the Claire girl from Heroes?
Again, I don't really watch television. I read.
All right.
You're really calling yourself out this week.
So this is like Wolverine from X-Men. You don't read comic books.
No, I don't. Does he grow his claws back?
Well, he has adamantium claws,
but
his actual X-Men power is how quickly he can heal, and that's why they could put the adamantium into his body.
Now it makes sense.
It doesn't.
But related to Windows 7, it basically what it says now, it has it sort of can diagnose problems and either alert you to them or just go ahead and fix it for you.
Yep.
So
it's a really cool technology built right into Windows 7. I think it's part of the Windows 7 Action Center.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll alert, like, you know, when you guys send issues to Microsoft, you're like, what does this thing do?
Right.
Well, it really helps Microsoft gather data on what the actual problems were through like the Watson channel. That's what we call it, Dr. Watson. But in Windows 7 Action Center, they actually made it so that you can see what has happened if there's like a problem with your computer, and if there's some type of resolution that you can apply to your computer. Now, these might just be a knowledge base article that you read, or a blog post, or actually they have these
fix-it buttons.
Yeah, like fix-it buttons now that will actually go through a process of detection, troubleshooting, resolve the issue, and then once the issue is resolved, verify that the resolution actually took place.
Here's my question for you, Paul. Wouldn't you rather just not know? Like, if there's something wrong with my computer and my computer's going to diagnose it and fix it, I would rather be unaware of this. Why would I need to call attention to the fact that there's a little glitch somewhere?
Well, generally it's because you're experiencing some type of symptom that you want fixed.
Gotcha.
So, like, if you
so
say...
So it says, hey, I realize you're having problems with this.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and fix that for you.
Or you can go through and go through saying, I'm having an issue, and then it will go out and get these troubleshooting packs from the web. So, like, you can say, my sound doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'm having difficulty setting up my Wi-Fi network.
Gotcha.
And it will go through and run these PowerShell scripts or these executable things, and it'll go through and just check, like, 40 or 50 common areas. It says, do they have their, you know, sound card driver properly
Very
installed?
Cool.
Do they have their speaker turned on? And, like, whatever it can actually detect, it'll just go through and say, hey, these are all the good things, and this is the one bad thing. Would you like me to try and fix this for you? And you can say yes.
And also, I did notice that in sort of... Windows 7 outreach to be more helpful and fix computer problems. They have a pretty big Twitter following, and you can tweet to Windows 7, and they'll give you immediate help right there.
Yeah, isn't it like @MS_Windows or
@MS_Windows_7? More points on my side that you need to jump on the tweet. Tweedledee bandwagon.
Wait, what was that again?
Nothing.
Okay, next.
All right, Paul, that's about all I could take for this week, so we're going to call it a wrap. But before we do, it's raining. It's raining sequel books. I wanted to call out a site which I found to be really interesting.
Yeah?
It's called Bing and Google. Is it .com?
Oh, that sounds good enough
and
to
it,
me.
And you literally type in the word Bing and Google, and it does a side-by-side comparison. Put in any word or image or whatever that you want to search, and it shows you the results. And I thought this was just fascinating.
Really? Because, I mean, I've seen like 50 of these things.
Until Paul had to crush me down and tell me that this is old news.
Yeah, this is something that's cool because it shows you the side-by-side, which one's Bing, which one's Google. Other sites actually mask which one it is so that you just see the results and you don't know if it's from Bing
or
from Google.
Well, what's the point of that?
Yeah, for market research, to find out which one has more relevant links.
But me, as a end user, as a consumer, I want to see right there the Bing and the Google and boom and what gives me what, and there you go. So therefore Bing and Google actually is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you should probably,
right, so you can just type in something like Transformers and, mm-hmm. and find out immediately that you're now twice the loser you thought you were.
Autobots, roll out.
That's what you would do.
That's true.
I wouldn't do that.
See how I tried pawning that off on you.
All right, Paul, we're out of sequel box, so let's go nine guys, because
okay.
That's a wrap.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Boom. All right. 3 for 3, and I'm out.